G'day everybody, good to be here once again. Must be May, and it is. It's been a tradition for a long time, hasn't it? Just trying to make sure yes, there it is. Well, it is good to be amongst you, and I'm really happy to have my wife Debbie. She's been here a few times over the years, but today she's my chief chauffeur because I busted my shoulder fighting with some stairs and a washing machine, and the machine won, and the match is given to the machine, and I don't want any rematch. And it happened about 5 weeks ago, and it's feeling pretty good at the moment. Also did something to my lower back, but that's been fixed up. But anyway, I can't drive at the moment, and so Deb's been pushing the limit of her desires and chauffeuring me around for the last 5 weeks, and so it's been really good. This passage is very special to me, especially the first few verses, which I'll be concentrating on this morning. I was ordained into the pastoral ministry 55 years ago, and my dad gave me a card on the day of my ordination, which included these verses from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 8. About be strong and courageous, and there was something that he was saying, these are verses for you, for your pastoral ministry as you venture out in this way. And then again, a few years later, about 40 years ago, I was inducted as principal of Kingsley College, and he gave me a card, and in that was Joshua 1, verses 1 to 8. And I went to him and I said, hey, do you realise that you've given me these verses before? And he said, no, when did I do that? And I said, oh, in my ordination. He said, well, they are important verses, aren't they? So it's pretty special to me to be preaching from these verses. So thanks, Josh, you didn't know about that, but it's a real privilege to open the word before you. These verses have always, because of that, because of Dad's giving me those cards, I think it's meant a lot to me, and these verses have been very instructive in what God is saying to me and has been saying to me over those years of leadership. And so it's good to venture out in this way. A bit of background. Moses, this great leader of Israel, leading the people out of Egypt, leading them around in the desert for 40 years. And now he's come to the promised land, but he dies before they can enter. But a new leader has been chosen. God has chosen Joshua. Joshua rises to the top and becomes this new leader. And God has some words to say to him. You can imagine taking on the reins after a guy like Moses, can't you? You know, when somebody's been there for a long time, he's been there for over 40 years, he made some mistakes along the way, but basically he was an incredible leader, and basically people respected him and he was trusted and people sort of followed him and so forth. There were times when they didn't, but generally so. And oftentimes you know when a leader takes over from somebody who's been there for a long time and has been appreciated, that next stint isn't very long. It doesn't last very long because the people are adapting to a new leadership style and new leader characteristics and so forth. But not so with Joshua, and Joshua had been apprenticed really well by Moses. But it was a hard act to follow. Now Joshua comes to leadership here with a bit of history. And we know about the history because of him accompanying Moses, but perhaps the best known is his mission as a spy 40 years earlier. And we're told that story in Numbers 13. You'd remember the story if you've been around the Old Testament for a while, because it's a popular story that is told. The story is about Moses. He's led the people to the borders of Canaan. Now, this is 40 years previous to the passage that we're studying today. And Moses, as a good leader, wanted to know what they were going to be up against. And so he sent 12 spies into the land to check it out. Are the cities fortified? What's it really like? Is there milk and honey? What are the grapes like? What about the people who are in charge there? Are they big or are they small? Are they armoured? What's going to go on here? And so he sent these 12 spies into the land to check it out. And Joshua was one of those 12. Now, you remember, the 10 spies came back and they just had a message of fear. Oh my goodness, the grapes are big, but so are the men. the cities are fortified. You wouldn't believe it. You know, they're incredible. And we saw men in their army so big that we were like, we were like mosquitoes in their presence. You know, it just felt like we were overwhelmed. And, so they came back with a positive report about the, you know, the flowing of milk and honey and grapes are good and so forth, but we're not going to be able to take it. We've been misled. We need to go back to Egypt. And that was the 10 spies with their report. But the other two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they certainly came back with the same facts. Yeah, the grapes are big and the cities are fortified and the men are huge, but we can take it. Because the difference that Joshua had and Caleb, both of them said, because we can take it because the Lord our God is with us. And God has promised us this land. And so it doesn't really matter how big the men are or how fortified the cities are. We can actually go in and we can take it because God is with us. That was the one defining factor that made them different from the other 10 spies. And so they tried to talk it up. They tried to talk to the people and say, we've got to have a strong faith in God's enablement. Let's do it. Let's go on in there. But the people were so afraid they listened to the 10 spies rather than the 2 spies. And so Joshua, trying to lead the people into a deeper faith in God, it didn't work. Joshua's first act of leadership was to try and convince the people to trust God. But he failed, and 40 years of desert wanderings resulted. That's the history that he brings to this passage this morning in Joshua chapter 1. The history of what many would see as failed leadership and 40 years of consequences of wandering around in the desert following Moses' lead, but Joshua was right there as his aide. And so we come to Joshua chapter 1 and we find that they've arrived at the Jordan River. And Moses has died and God is appointing a new leader. He's appointing Joshua to take over from Moses. And Joshua's resume, if you like, contains a failed stint at leadership 40 years ago. It contains this idea of him wandering around with Moses. The mighty Moses leader, but wandering alongside of him, learning the practices of leadership, but leading a nomadic, restless multitude of disgruntled people as they wandered around in the desert for 40 years, variously deciding that it would be better in Egypt than in the desert. And this was Joshua's introduction to leadership under Moses. That's a tough stint. That's a tough church to pastor, I tell you. And Moses, at times, had real difficulties, and of course Joshua did too. This was his work experience. This is what he brings to Joshua chapter 1 and the motivations and all of what was happening in him taking on this new leadership role. And the job description that God had for Joshua in leadership that was being offered to him, probably an offer that he couldn't refuse, was to take this people from their nomadic desert lifestyle to move into the city and to build a nation that was faithful to God. That's all he had to do. Just had to take this this group of disgruntled people, nomadic wanderers for 40 years, next generation actually, moving from the desert where they would, you know, move around and rely totally on God and everything, and across the Jordan into the cities, into the urban dwellings of Canaan, to take on the responsibility of nation building. That's a huge task for anybody, a huge task. But that's the job description that God comes to Joshua with. And so he was moving from a desert lifestyle to an urban one. And really, the question is, what does he need to know as he ventured into this task that was way beyond his experience and way beyond his training? What does he need to know? Well, one thing that he had going for him was his faith in God's enablement. 40 years earlier, he'd expressed that very clearly. He'd been here and he'd done that. He'd been into that urban area. He'd been into the cities that were greatly fortified and so forth. He'd come back with a report that exuded faith in God's enablement. And he needed to be reminded of that now that he's got the job of leading these people in to settle in and become a nation builder. He's going to need that with his new job. And so that's where God concentrates his instructions as he speaks to Joshua at the beginning of his leadership role. God's instructions, that's what we saw in these verses, in the first 9 verses. Number one, he says to Joshua, because of this leadership role that you've got, because of all the hardship and the sort of people that you're leading and the role that you have in building a nation out of these people, because of all of that, be strong and be courageous. He says it a couple of times in those verses. Be strong. The Hebrew word means obstinate. Be obstinate. Stick at it. Stick at it. Perseverance is extremely important. Be strong. Be courageous. The Hebrew word means physically and mentally alert. Be on your toes, mate. Be on the lookout for things. Be physically and mentally alert. That's what you've got to do. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. The Hebrew word that's translated afraid there means to stand in awe to the point of being filled with dread. You know, when we think about standing in awe of something, you know, you go down, for me, Great Ocean Road, look out on the ocean and what was the 12 apostles and all of that. And it's just awesome as far as I'm concerned. And I stand in awe of that and just think, wow, you know, that's incredible. But this is a level of awe, being overwhelmed with the job, overwhelmed with what's going on, to the point of being filled with dread. And God says, don't be that. Don't be that. It's a pretty awesome thing that you're being called to do, but don't be filled with dread. And don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. The Hebrew word translated there means don't give up due to confusion and fear. Confusion can get in the way of good leadership, can't it? Confusion, not knowing what to do. Not knowing where I should turn and how I should apply these principles and so forth, and fear of what's going to happen. What will happen if I do this, if I take this action? Or what will happen if I don't do this and don't take this action? And so that can give rise to discouragement. So God's first message to Joshua, this new leader who was given this role, is stick at it no matter what happens. Be physically and mentally alert. Be awake. Be awake to what's going on around. Be discerning to know what God is wanting to do here. Don't be filled with dread and don't give up due to any confusion and fear. That's what God is saying to this new leader. Secondly, God says, I'm going to be with you in all of this. You know, that's such an important message. We've actually heard testimony of that this morning. Some of the sharing was around that theme of God being with us in some of the songs too. You know, that we live in a messy world, don't we? And we can be in the midst of a whole lot of stuff that is not pleasant. But the message is, I am with you. God is saying to us, I am with you. And that's what he is saying to Joshua. That's what he said to Moses. Remember when Moses was called to leadership and he said, oh, you got the wrong bloke, you know, I'm not going. Sorry, but you called the wrong number. And he just didn't want to go. And God's message to Moses was, but I will be with you. And later on in Moses, when he was on Mount Sinai and he was questioning God again, you know, these are your people, you know, what are you doing here? you've asked me to lead them. And God says, yeah, but I will be with you. And Moses says, well, you'd better be with me because I ain't going if you're not with me. Paraphrased a bit, but that's basically what he said. And the same message is coming through now to Joshua, and the same message comes through to us. No matter what we're called to do, God says, I will be with you. And he says, in this passage, he says, just as he was with Moses, I will be with you. Now, Joshua would have seen that time and time again, wouldn't he, over those 40 years out in the wilderness, where he was alongside Moses, Moses' aid. He would have seen God at work in Moses' life and the presence of God there. And so he knew what God was saying. He knew about this when God says, I'll be with you. And he says, I will not leave or forsake you, Joshua. And that's the message that he believed 40 years ago. He heard from God. He said, God's going to be with us, and so we can take this. We can do this. We will win because the Lord our God is with us. So he'd heard that message 40 years ago, and now he's hearing it again. So God says, I will be with you in all of this. And then the third thing that God says to him is, you need to be a person of the book. You need to be a person of the instructions that I have given day and night, constantly. It's something that you really need to get stuck into and make a difference. Now, the book for Joshua would have been maybe some of the five books of Moses, some of the Torah, probably Deuteronomy. That's what most scholars say, that a large portion of the book of Deuteronomy would have been what was being referred to here. Of course, now we can apply this, I believe, we can apply a verse like this or a passage like this to the whole of Scripture that we have, that we are to be people of the book. And so he says to Joshua, be a person of the book. And the instructions that I've given to you, the book, they're to be for you in personal development as well as in instruction of others. Personal development, in one translation, in the Holman's translation, it says recite it day and night. In other translations it talks about meditate on it day and night. And the idea of meditating is allowing it to soak in. It's not just a rough reading of it, it's allowing it to ruminate. It's allowing it to make a difference. And that's the idea. And God is saying to him, for your own personal development, for your own personal instruction, meditate on the book. And then he says, and carefully observe everything written in it. Carefully observe, properly observe it. So study it. Get stuck into this. That's what you need to do for personal development. And so you get what's happening here? God is saying to Joshua, I've called you to this task and I'm going to be with you. I'll be with you in all of this. And so you need to be strong and courageous, but at the same time, you need to do your own stuff as well. You need to develop. It's not all just something that is spiritually endowed, you know, and the Holy Spirit takes over and sort of zooms you in 6 inches above the dirt. You got to do the hard work. You got to be somebody who is just really getting into the instructions that God has given, into the book, and meditating on it for your own personal development, not just for helping other people to do what is right, but for your own personal development. And carefully observing everything written in it. So personal development. And be a person of the book for the instruction of others. It says, don't allow this book to depart from your mouth. And the idea of departing from your mouth would be that you stop speaking it. And so what God is saying is, in your instruction of others, in the words that you say, you are to make sure that it's from the instructions that I have given. God says, from the book. And then he says, and you will then be successful. Now, I've had a few years of just reading over that, but when I was looking at it for today's message and meditating on this verse, I realized God is here giving criteria for success that is really interesting. You will be successful. Success is defined by his personal living of Scripture and by his teaching being based on Scripture. Success is not defined by getting others to obey the Scripture. Success is defined by him being true to what God is calling him to. By trusting God, then you're successful. By getting into the Bible for us, then you're successful. And if your personal development and your instruction is according to Scripture, then you're successful. What others do with what you say, that's really up to them, because you can't force them. You can't force other people to be obedient and to change. Now, this throws a different light onto what I called a few minutes ago the failure that he'd had in leadership 40 years earlier as a spy. He didn't have failure in leadership. The people didn't do what God wanted them to do, but that wasn't Joshua's fault. He didn't fail in leadership. He succeeded in leadership according to the criteria set here for what a successful leader is all about. A successful leader is somebody who is faithful to the Word of God, faithful to trusting God, to finding his courage and her courage in what God is doing and what God is enabling. And then being faithful to the Word of God, faithfully proclaiming what God says through the Word. Faithfulness is what success is. It's according to what God is saying here. And that's very encouraging to all of us. It's not just to designated leaders, but that's very encouraging to all of us. Because, you know, sometimes you can get pretty discouraged when other people who you know could do something with this truth, they're not doing it. And that might range from parents towards children or grandparents towards grandkids or people in the community or wherever. And certainly, you know, it talks about the church and you know, longing for people to come to trust God and to know God deeper. And it just doesn't seem to be happening. Well, that isn't failed leadership. As long as you're being faithful to God and faithful to the Word in all that you do. I find that rather encouraging. So as we wind up, what is this saying to me today? Well, I think this is what we are to look for in leadership today. But it's not just designated leaders. It's for all of us, because this is really discipleship training here. It's not just for people who are put into leadership roles. And I'm preaching to the converted. One of the things I love about what we used to call the Brethren Assemblies is the lay leadership model, you know, leadership across the board. I love that. I think it's very biblical and works really well. And so the teaching from this passage is not just to, it's not just to Josh, because he's appointed as a leader here, but it's to all of us in whatever roles we have with our kids and our grandkids and in the community and the neighborhood and with one another in the church. And so what about this? As I get up tomorrow morning and I face a day of unknowns, I'm determined to be strong. I'm going to stick at it. And I'm determined to be courageous. I'll be physically and mentally alert. I'll look out for what God is doing. I'll refuse to give in to dread or become overwhelmed. I refuse to give up. I'll be strong. And I'll be courageous no matter what this day holds. And what about, I will rely upon God's promise to be with me no matter what. He said, don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And what about, I will be a person of the book. In my personal life, I'll meditate on Scripture and seek to live faithfully. In my public life, I'll seek to speak truth and life, mercy and grace, as I speak faithfully the scripture that I have. And I will learn and apply the principles of good interpretation, because it says properly follow the word, carefully observing all that is written in it. And what about then? I will evaluate my day on these criteria. I didn't give up. I trusted God's presence. I lived faithfully to the word of God. And you're a success. Isn't that good news? Dear God, thanks so much for your word and for how relevant it is to us today. Thanks so much that the calling to live it is enabled by your presence with us. May we be your people, trusting you, trusting your word, and living it faithfully, even this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.